Hello. How are you feeling today?
Well, not stressed, I think.
That's good.
What about you?
Stressed, but it's only because it's just because I had a lot of events this weekend, so I've been staying up really late to compensate by studying. So that's just been a lot.
Makes sense. I think I just need to
Actually, it's really hard to fit in this, like, schedule for studying today, but I need to do that because I haven't done much over the weekend.
I know we keep saying, like, oh, this is a place to de-stress and, like, away from studying, but
Yeah.
we complain about our studying a
Oh wait,
lot,
yeah,
and
we
I
should
feel,
like make it a more relaxing environment.
I was gonna say, I feel kind of bad about that, but at the same
Yes.
time, I feel like that's the student experience, like, saying, oh, I'm gonna get away from studying, and then just stressing the entire time.
Yes, that's so true. Like after every test, you're like, oh, I'm gonna be like done with studying and stressed out, but no, another one.
That's you. That's not me.
Okay,
That's
but
you.
during the chemistry test, I felt the de-stress. Okay, I was like relaxing in the library. I was looking out at the raindrops falling down on the windows. I was ha living the time of my life. It wasn't like math where you're actually like stressed every second.
I love that for you. That sounds very nice.
Yeah.
I think I feel like this topic is really great, kind of relating to what we were talking about earlier, because the show that gives people, I feel like one of the shows that gives people the most misconceptions about what high school will be like is this show, Riverdale.
Yes, I watched this when I was in middle school, I think like grade 7 or 8. And then I had the misconception that everyone in high school is going to look like this. Like this height, this level. I don't know how to explain it, but they're all like adults playing teenagers, basically.
And they all look incredible. Like, they don't have acne, they don't have bad hair days. They all look like
Oh my God.
perfect.
And their outfits too.
Yes.
Oh, I love Cheryl's outfits.
Yeah, she had the best style in the show, I think. And Veronica too.
Yeah.
I think Betty's style, I feel like they went a bit too safe with Betty. Like, I feel like, or I don't know actually.
I guess that was a point, like the girl next door thing. Oh, they keep bringing that up too. The girl next door, the boy next door.
I think that's a little bit better than Veronica's, which is like mystery girl, and like she's always just quoting random literature.
Say all the pop fiction that she keeps bringing up and the references, and Cheryl too sometimes.
This place is so Breakfast at Tiffany's, but I'm more. What was it?
Don't know, it was another film that the director produced.
Yeah, so anyways, I think we're very excited to get into this.
Yes. So I guess to start off by talking about the show, we can kind of talk about what it's about in the first season, since I think the first season, like our last episode for Once Upon a Time, it's the most least chaotic. Least chaotic, yeah.
I think also the first season, it has the least, like you said, the least chaotic, but it's also the least, I would say messy, and the plot overall is very simple. Like, you have a very straightforward plot, whereas with the other seasons, you have like 10 things going on, and you don't know what's happening in any of them.
I know. I really wonder with the other seasons. Did they make up the plot as they were going every like episode? Like, were they just trying to keep us on our toes? Because I'm sure none of us would have guessed the things that were to come.
Especially when you get into like superpowers and cults and all of that.
Oh my gosh. This is one of those shows where I don't want to make another like chart because it doesn't make sense after a few seasons.
And if you thought the red yarn here was bad, and when you get to like season four and you have all the characters, you're not even gonna see anyone. It's just yarn and yarn and yarn and yarn.
Yes, like it wouldn't make sense. There wouldn't be a board big enough to fit all the characters in.
We'd have to use the whole wall or something.
Even for season one, there were so many characters in comparison to our Once Upon a Time board because I remember you had to cut a few out. And like you could see here, we had to write them down because we literally forgot to like print some of them.
And I don't think you can even read them. Like, this is Jason and this is Kevin, but you wouldn't be able to tell because this one is covered by yarn completely.
Yeah, so we're missing some like important characters like Kevin's dad, but it's okay. We'll just reference them.
I think everyone is important in Riverdale in some way because they always end up being used, even if it's for the most small niche plot later on
That's
or
so true.
at some point.
They're gonna be like a really plot twist character. They're gonna be involved in some really weird, random way.
I have kind of a spoiler alert, so I will say this. But do you remember Ethel?
Yes.
And how she literally was just a part of the cult or something. And yeah. Then later on, she ends up joining Jughead in his bunker.
Yes!
For no reason.
What was it? Season 4 or 5?
I think season 4 or 5.
Where it was like this monster thing that was getting them. I forgot what the monster was. And it was like in the school, and then Ethel was like trying to recruit people in.
Like, why did she come back for that? Like, her role was already set. She did not need to come back.
I know. I forgot she was in season 1 because the only memory I had of her was when she was trying to recruit people for that cultish thing.
Okay, I guess we should probably start from the beginning. Yes. And get to how the plot of Riverdale started. So would you like to do that?
Okay, sure. So it basically starts off with the death of a character, Jason. And Jason is Cheryl's brother, twin brother. They're both gingers. You can't tell from this photo because it's like printed really badly. But that's Cheryl over here, okay? And so they are a part of this family. And we'll get into the family tree later on. But basically, they don't know what's happened with Jason's with Jason dying, and they later on find out that he was shot in the head because it was Kevin, actually, and Moose, that we also don't have on this board, that found Jason's body while they were in the forest doing activities.
And then basically the drama, or I guess the plot of the show starts when they find his body, like you said, after he was shot in Sweet Water Ridge.
I don't know.
Sweet something river.
Yeah.
And we learned this later, but what actually happened is that Archie was there near the river during the shooting, and he actually hears the gunshot. And we'll explain who he was with later on.
Yeah. And there's also a new character that is introduced. Well, she's not new because she's like a part of the main cast, but Veronica right over here. She is like this it girl from New York. And she comes into this little town because her father, who is right over here, her father has been arrested for fraud, embezzlement, the usual things that you get arrested for as a businessman. And so her mother only has like this one piece of property left in Riverdale. And so they have to live there while their father is being arrested, you know. And then she meets Betty and Archie. And Jughead is just this writer character who's just observing everyone. And he does voiceovers every single episode.
Yes. And I guess for some more information, Jughead and Archie used to be best friends. But then they're going through kind of a rift right now, like some sort of drifting apart. And then I guess we can also talk about Polly a bit. So Polly was Betty's sister. And when Jason died, he was actually running away with Polly, and we don't really know what happened to Polly in the beginning of the season, but we learn later on what happened to her. And then Betty's mom, because of that, Betty's mom was really strict on Betty and is always trying to get her to follow a certain path in life.
Yeah. And from the first episode we find out that like Archie and Betty, they have been like best friends for a while, right? But Betty has started developing feelings for him, so she wants to like let that be known to him. But Archie does not feel the same way. His reason for not feeling the same way is so stupid. He literally says, "Oh, you're too perfect for me. I've never felt good enough for you." And then she like goes into her house and cries. And then we also find out that Veronica and Archie, they kiss. And at the time that they kiss, she was already friends with Betty.
This all happened in episode 1, by the way. Yes,
everything happened in episode 1.
And I guess it's important to mention, but Archie saying all that stuff to Betty about how she's not perfect for him is kind of insane to me, because his other option was having an affair with his teacher, which I think is infinitely worse.
I know. Oh yeah, that's another reason he didn't feel the same way, because he was having an affair with his teacher, Miss Grundy. She has ended up looking like her print is the brightest out of all, which is not an accurate representation of her. She should be in the shadows.
Yes, and Miss Grundy, this is a really nice photo we've chosen of her. But Miss Grundy, in the show, she is very, as you would expect a teacher to have an affair student to be. She does a lot of kind of victim blaming on Archie. She's like, "Archie, don't talk to me. Archie, we can't do this here." But then she continues to meet with him. And I think that's a bit creepy and a bit just really weird, especially because in the show, in season one, I guess we forgot to mention, but the core cast, they're all 15 years old. 15.
15?
15. Like, they just started high school, right? They're in grade 9 or 10.
Mm.
And they're 1 year younger than us.
Actually crazy, I think. Yeah, great. I'm not doing these kind of things in grade 10.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, yes. And then also, going back to Cheryl. Cheryl is Jason's sister, right, as you said. And she's kind of like the quote-unquote queen bee of the school, if you will. And she's the popular girl, and she's head of the cheerleaders. And she's kind of also trying to figure out what happened to Jason. And this is their dad. And he's kind of important later on. But he is, he runs like the maple, like his family, the Blossoms, Cheryl's family, they run like a maple syrup empire or something. And he's like in charge of that.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Archie's parents. I don't think his mom is very involved in the first season, but his dad, Fred, is he's kind of important. He just kind of like talks to Archie about how he's like, you know, trying to go into the music industry, which is like a plot that doesn't get continued with as the later seasons go on. But in the first season, the reason that he's having this affair with his teacher is because he's like in music, right? Like, he wants to get into writing songs and he's really interested in that. And Miss Grundy is a music teacher. And then his dad's like, oh, are you really serious about music? Blah, 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 blah. And he's also into football. And he's like, no, I don't want to do football anymore. Construction is not my passion. His dad's in construction. Music is, which isn't really his passion because he doesn't continue with music later on. But yeah.
Oh, and then, oh, Hermione.
Yes, and Hermione is that she and Archie's dad, they dated in high school. And before, like, after, she ended up marrying Veronica's father,
Hiram.
Yes, Hiram. And so they have kind of a strained relationship when she moves back in. And she also asks him for a job, which he has to decline.
And this is all in the first couple episodes. I think it's episode 1 and 2, like most of this drama that we just talked about, that's all episode 1 and 2.
Yes, those first two episodes are like the most pack-filled, and then the rest is like just filler episodes, and then the end.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the stuff that happens in between is not important at all, and I think we can go into it later as well.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got Jughead's dad, FP. That is right, him.
He and Betty's mom, Alice, they used to date in high school too, but then they broke up. And Alice marries Betty's dad, who's not here, but his name is Hal. And then they kind of, I wouldn't say like reconcile in the same way, but they're kind of investigating what happened. And I think they do end up talking to each other a little bit, especially because she disapproves of Jughead.
So crazy to me how all the parents that dated, they like their children date. Like, that's a bit weird to me. That's more than a bit weird, actually, especially because at some point they were like really serious.
I agree. And I think it's weird for FP and Alice, but I think it's even weirder for Hermione and Fred because they end up kind of dating again when she returns to Riverdale. And during this period where they're kind of dating, their children, Veronica and Archie, there's still feelings there. So I feel like that's weird because it's happening simultaneously.
Yes, that's so true. And that still gets continued on to the later seasons as well. Especially more heavily with Alice and FP.
We forgot about Kevin.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Kevin, he's just like, he's kind of there. His dad, though, he is like the
sheriff?
The sheriff, yeah. He's the sheriff. And basically, he's just investigating who killed Jason. So he's interrogating all of these people right here. And he interrogated Cheryl at some point as well. And so Kevin, I don't know what to say about Kevin. He's a nice character.
I think Kevin had, I remember he had a plot because we rewatched the show recently, but his plot was not like important to anything. Like, I remember was him meeting up with the gang, like the serpents. I remember him meeting up with one of them.
Yeah, Moose.
Moose. And Joaquin.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I don't remember any other plot that he had in season one that mattered or was important.
Wait, we should explain the serpents.
Oh, yes. The serpents are this gang in, what is it called?
Riverdale? Or?
No, there's like a word for them. Like the something serpents.
Southside.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the Southside serpents. And they're basically this kind of gang that is run in the I guess, more shady parts of Riverdale.
Yeah.
In the South Side. And Jughead, he kind of has, like, familial affiliations with the gang, but he doesn't want to join them. So he's trying to, like, stay away and stay on his own writing path.
Yes. And that's why no one questions why there's a whole gang.
And they're all, like, 15, too. Or most of them. 15, 16.
That's still crazy to me. This is the most least accurate version of teenagers that I've seen in a show.
I agree. So now that we went over, like, a general overview of each character, do you want to go into the specifics?
Yeah.
I guess we should start by saying that when Jason was murdered, no one was really sure of how he was killed. So that was kind of the ongoing investigation. And that was what Jughead was trying to figure out. And then he later, Betty, she also decided to join the investigation. And they were kind of working together. And then Archie and Veronica also, kind of everyone just ends up being let into that initial investigation of who killed Jason, while the sheriff and the police are also looking into that as well.
Yes, it's like Scooby-Doo, basically. And the original, like, reason... Oh, would you also like a blanket?
I would love a blanket.
Okay, so the original reason that they thought Jason was killed is through, like, a drowning. And it's also revealed that Jason had planned to run away before, and he was asking for Cheryl's help. And so she told the police, oh, he was planning on running away and making it look like a tragic accident so the family wouldn't get mad at him. And so it's revealed that later on, he was actually shot in the head. It's because Kevin found his body, and then it showed a bullet hole. So his body wasn't found before then until Kevin and Moose found it in the forest.
Yes. And then also, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but when Jason was running away, he was running away to meet Polly, which they later discovered. And Polly, she was pregnant with Jason's child. And that was kind of the reason why she was running away. And then we don't really know what happens to Polly until a bit later, when we find out that Betty's mom sent her to this, like, nun conservatory or something.
Yeah.
This religious conservatory. And then Betty brings her back. And then Polly kind of tells her a bit more about what she knew, which was that she was supposed to meet Jason on, like, the side of the road after he, he rode away across the river. But then he never got it there because he was shot.
This sounds like a murder mystery plot. Like, I know it's, like, a show for a murder mystery, but, like, one of those packages, it sounds like that.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, anyways, I think we should get towards, like, the end and the ending of season one and how it's revealed who killed Jason and, you know, what the motives were behind that.
So a lot of people were actually falsely accused of killing Jason. So FP, he was accused because they found a gun that was in his trailer. And then he only said yes because Clifford Blossom threatened to hurt his son Jughead if he said no. So he was not the culprit, even though he was kept in jail until the end of the season, for all that we know. And then they actually turned out to find out it was someone else.
And that someone else, drumroll please, is Clifford Blossom, the father of Jason Blossom.
And the way they found this was that they found this USB drive. And when they watched it, it was a video of him basically murdering Jason.
Yes, and it's discovered that the reason he murdered his own son, his own flesh and blood, is because Jason found out about his drug dealing business, okay? So, the Blossoms, like we told you before, they had this maple syrup empire, right? But now, it's revealed that that's all a front for his drug laundering, I don't know what you call it, his drug trafficking business to Montreal. So... basically, he was, like, in charge of all these drugs, heroin specifically. And so he was, like, taking care of all this illegally. And Jason found out. And he couldn't have his own son, like, blabbing to the police, could he? So his only choice, not really, was to kill his own son. And that's why.
Yeah, and it's really funny. Not funny, but it's really interesting because I feel like this doesn't really make sense. Like, did he have to kill Jason? Like, I don't understand what the logic was there.
I agree. Couldn't he have, like, just brought his son into the business or something?
Yeah, and the way they found out this was a drug laundering scheme is, can I say this? He, like, ties rope around his neck, and they find him that way in the maple syrup farm area.
Yes.
And that's how they find out the drug laundering scheme. So he's already dead, so he doesn't really face any repercussions for that. I don't know if Cheryl does. Cheryl? I don't think it's shown if she does.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But she's very distraught with grief near the end of the episode, and she basically goes, like, under the ice, and Archie has to, like, save her.
Yes, because she tries to, like, drown herself out of this grief. And in the final episode, we think that everything's okay, right? But Stan explains this part very well, so I'm going to let her.
Okay, so basically, after everything is resolved, Archie, he's feeling really good about himself. He goes to dinner with his dad at Pop's Diner, which we kind of forgot to mention earlier, but Pop's Diner, and he goes to the washroom, and he has this one moment of, I guess, self-reflection, where he's washing his hands and looking at himself in the mirror and just being like, oh, whoa, I've made it. This is a really good time for me. And then he goes back because he hears a gunshot, and his father has been shot, and no one knows by who. And the episode kind of ends with him holding his father as he's bleeding out in the diner. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of foreshadowing to what's going to happen in season two.
Yes. And something very important to mention as well. In the finale, Jughead ends up joining the gang that we talked about, the Southside Serpents. He gets his very own Southside Serpents jacket. And it's a huge moment for him.
Initially, he didn't really want to join. He kind of wanted to focus on his own path, even though he had a lot of familial affiliations with the Serpents. But then after his dad, FP, got arrested, mm-hmm. they wouldn't let him out, even after it was found out that he didn't kill Jason, because they were asking if FP, who also had relations with the Serpents, if they were involved in the drug laundering scheme with Clifford. He said he wouldn't snitch on anyone because it's like, you know, gang code or something. And so he's kept there. So when Jughead, he goes back to the trailer where he lives, without his dad, he sees that the Serpents are there, and they kind of accept him as family and stuff because his dad is not there anymore.
Yeah, and so FP's basically left his son to, like, take care of himself, you know, and he ends up joining the Serpents anyways.
I think his reasoning for not snitching was a bit silly, because he was like, you know what, whatever repercussions Jughead and I face, it's for the better good of the Serpents. Like, don't you want to see your son and take care of him?
I was so bothered by this. Like, why are you in a gang in the first place? Just, like, why?
Especially because Jughead was nearly homeless at some point, right?
He was. He was homeless. Yeah. He was, like, first he was living in this, like, what do you call it?
Drive-in?
Yes, the drive-in. And then it gets shut down. And so he's, like, he lives in the school for a bit of time. I don't know if it's in this first season, but yeah. So I feel bad for him for all this.
And then also in the last episode, Hermione, she tells Veronica that Veronica's dad is coming to Riverdale. And that's kind of foreshadowing season two as well and what he ends up doing in that season.
Yes, he gets to be a character of his own in some ways later on.
Very special.
Yes, very important.
I don't know what else is there to say.
Well, we can talk a bit about Archie's relationships throughout the show.
Oh, yes.
The first season.
Moving on to relationships. Because there's, as you can tell from this red yarn, there's a lot of them.
Yes. So, starting off with Archie, we have, of course, like, Betty, who confessed her love for him in the first episode. Yes, it was in the first episode. And he doesn't reciprocate with his old big speech of, oh, you're too good for me, oh, whatever. And then he has, like, obviously the relationship with Miss Grundy, who was later found to have, like, a gun of her own and a fake identity. Yeah. And then at the same time, he kind of likes Veronica, and they have their whole relationship. And then he also has a relationship with one of the members of the Pussycats, which is this band. Yeah, a band, like this girl band, and it's led by Josie, and then this is Val over here, and so Archie and Val have a kind of thing going on, because they were working on songs together, writing lyrics, songwriting, and it just ends up happening for a very short amount of time.
Archie and Cheryl also, it's not really a relationship, but she does flirt with him, and there's a lot of weird energy there.
Yes, there is.
Also, I think I keep saying we forgot to mention this, but Miss Grundy, right after I think the drive-in occurs, where they go in to save the drive-in and they're all watching a movie together, Betty and Veronica, after they do their investigations about Miss Grundy, they tell Alice, or like Alice finds out because she read Betty's diary or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and she tells Archie's dad, Fred, and they go and confront them. And then Miss Grundy is forced to leave town and never return. Thank God.
Yes, I know. I was so happy when she left. She was such a problematic character, always blaming everything on like Archie. She's like, oh, you're trying to start something up again. But no, it's just she's the problem.
I feel like Archie's dad was a pretty good parent considering the show, but I think he was a bit too chill about the Miss Grundy thing. Like,
I agree.
He discovered it, and then he had, like, one conversation, and it was never mentioned again. He never really showed that he cared that much about it again.
If this was happening, like, Archie should have been in therapy, okay? Like, a 15-year-old boy with this 30-year-old teacher.
And Miss Grundy, she should have been in prison. She shouldn't have been allowed to just leave
town. Why did they make her leave town? Like, that's literally giving her a free pass to do this to more students. Like, that is so problematic. Why wasn't the sheriff, like, taking care of this and imprisoning her?
I guess he was too busy falsely arresting people for the murder of Jason. I think also to note, Archie's relationship with Betty, even though it starts out that she likes him, I think at some point she ends up having feelings for Jughead instead.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the main relationship for the season, I think.
And they're working on the case together, right? So that's how they kind of develop feelings. They are spending all this time investigating together. Yeah, it's like Fred and Daphne in some kind of way, relating back to Scooby-Doo.
And then I also remember while this was happening, you have Archie and Veronica, who are also getting kind of close, but then they also don't want to upset Betty again after, you know, they kiss and kind of broke her trust. So they're kind of just doing their own thing.
Yes, but it ends up not working out because they can't fight their feelings. That's just, yeah.
Yeah. There's so much here that we haven't even said. Like, so much niche stuff, I feel like.
I know. But ultimately, I guess we covered the beginning, the middle, and how it all comes to an end.
And then also, I guess, the main relationships between the main core, main five.
So now that we've kind of, like, talked about everything that there is for the show in terms of the plot and settings and characters, we can go into, I guess, characters we like and dislike.
Okay, so I guess I kind of mentioned this earlier, but FP really pisses me off. And I get that he's supposed to be an absent dad for the show, but he doesn't, like, I don't get his logic. Why is he so devoted to the Serpents over his own son?
I feel bad for Jughead. Like, his own father is abandoning him for some gang? That's crazy to me.
I agree. Like, what is happening here?
Like, Jughead is just a 15-year-old boy fending for himself. 15 or 16. I don't know if I'm getting these ages wrong.
Either way, it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. I hated Clifford, obviously. Like, just a clear villain.
What is your opinion on Alice?
Oh, this was, okay, when I was first watching the show, when I was, like, younger, in middle school, I really disliked her because I was like, oh, just let Betty grow. Let her grow into this mature woman that she's trying to become. And, like, she needs to be able to do, she needs to have freedom for herself, you know? And then now, I mean, I think in the first few episodes, she said a few things that didn't sit right with me. Like, she was, like, shaming Veronica for dating. I don't know if you remember that, but yeah. And so I didn't like those aspects about her, but I also do agree with, to some extent, about, like, taking care of your child. And she has, like, a bunch of her own secrets that she was trying to prevent Betty from becoming her, because she was like Betty or something when she was younger in high school.
I agree. And also, I remember being really unhappy when I first watched it when I was 12. That she disapproved of Jughead and didn't like their relationship. But now, looking back and knowing about her relationship with FP and how bad that ended, I understand why she didn't want Betty to become involved with Jughead.
I agree, especially since we know that their relationship is very messy later on.
I think the parents, you get introduced to them here, but it's in the later seasons where you learn so much more about them. And that's kind of where all the lore comes in about these parents, because you think you know them pretty well from the first season, and you get into season 2 and 3 and 4, and it's like, oh wait, these are not what we faced in season 1. They're like completely different people.
Yeah, there's this a few episodes dedicated completely to the parents and how they were in their like high school selves and how they were all involved with each other. Like, it's, I like those episodes because even though Riverdale was getting crazy, it was like, I liked seeing the relationships.
Me too. And I think it showed how, like, interconnected the dating thing is. Because I remember really, like, weird dating things between the parents. And I was like, your children are literally together. This doesn't feel right.
Yes. And I guess that's it for the main relationships. Yeah. And is there any other characters you don't like?
Can we talk about characters we're annoyed by?
Like, yeah.
Okay, I'm annoyed by Archie because he can't make up his mind. And do you remember, as you talked about, he was stuck between, like, three roads, like, football and construction and music, and he only wants to do music. And then, literally, after he sings at Jubilee and Homecoming or whatever, you think, like, oh, Archie's going to follow music. That's going to be his career. But it's never talked about after season one. Like, it's like it never happens.
I know. I found that really annoying because he goes through this supposed character development in season one, but that plot is never continued. And I guess, like, it's kind of the fault of the writers also for not continuing it and forgetting about it. But also, like, it just makes Archie's character really flat, I think. He just doesn't grow much. He's the same all throughout.
I agree, definitely on the character part.
Yeah. Obviously, Miss Grundy, like, we hate if we didn't make that clear. Like, obviously, leave, but also, like, I hope your car goes into a ditch because you deserve to be in prison.
I learned that Grundy in the comics, she was this, like, 80-year-old woman. Like, she was not having affairs with anyone. But I guess for the Riverdale people, the Riverdale writers, this is not intriguing enough for them. So they had to age her down and make her have an affair. And the aging down doesn't make it better, but I guess it makes it more, I don't know. I mean, Miss Grundy's actress is a very pretty woman. So maybe they just wanted, like, young, attractive people to be in the show. And that's why.
Something that I don't understand about Riverdale as a show is why base it off of the Archie comics. Because when I'm not, like, a huge reader of the Archie comics, but, like, the times that I was in a grocery store, I would always, like, pick up one of the comics. Really? Yeah. I always, like, found one and I looked for one. I was just, like, reading it while my parents were out grocery shopping. And then nothing that I read corresponds to anything that I've seen in the show at all, except for the characters' names.
I don't want to generalize, but I think 90% of the Archie comics, and I haven't read all of them, so maybe this is a bit of an exaggeration, but I think most of them are just about Betty and Veronica fighting over Archie. Like,
yeah, that's
a lot of most of the ones that I've read.
That's all I knew about it, too. And there were, like, subplots, but nothing like this. No murders that I know of.
Yeah, and they don't even fight over Archie, really. Like, in the first episode or two, there's tension, and then she's with Jughead, and she has her own thing. Like, it's never...
Yeah, it's never... There's, like, a few messy relationships, obviously, as you go throughout the seasons, but I feel like, I don't know why they would base this off of a comic series, a children's comic series, and turn it into something as messy as this show.
Now that we've kind of talked about characters we don't like, are there any characters that you would like to highlight?
I really like Josie from Josie and the Pussycats. I thought she was a great character. And obviously she has, like, a great voice, but the few scenes she was in, I thought she was a very iconic character, and I liked her quite a lot. She was very confident in herself.
She's insanely pretty, too.
Yeah, everyone in this show is. Yeah, but I really liked her. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think Jughead was a really good character in season one because he was kind of mysterious and he kind of saw through a lot of the lies and all of the things that were going on in town. And he was a good friend. He was trying to stop Archie from seeing Miss Grundy. And he was like, oh, don't worry, Veronica. I won't tell anyone. You were at Archie's house after the birthday party. But I think he's really funny. And I think they went a bit too far with him, like with his little monologue where he's like, about his beanie or something.
I'm a weirdo. You can't control that. You can't change that. But yeah, I agree about the Jughead part. I think, like, in the first season, he seems like he knows everything, even though he, like, obviously he's trying to figure out the same mystery as everyone else, but I always thought he knew more than he was letting on. That makes sense. Like, he was just that type of character.
Especially because he was writing the book.
Yes. Did that book ever get published? Like, he wrote that book, but he never makes a profit off of it. What did you think about Betty and Veronica?
I like that they teamed up to do certain stuff, like how they called out the football team for their list of girls. I like that they did stuff like that. And I'm happy they were friends at the end. They didn't fight over Archie the entire season. Yeah, but I wish they got a bit more scenes. So I feel like in the beginning they tried to push that Betty-Veronica friendship, and then in the end they kind of forgot about it and were just focused on other stuff.
Yeah, like the relationships between Betty and Jughead and Veronica and Archie.
What about you?
I agree about what you said. I think when I was younger, I really liked Veronica's character a lot because I wanted to be like her.
Me too.
Obviously, it's not realistic now looking back on it as an actual teenager. But I think they went way too far with the dark Betty thing.
Yes, dark Betty.
I wish that never happened.
You, what was your reaction?
As a child or now?
You both.
A curricula for my college applications, but then throughout the whole season and the rest of the entire show, she's just off investigating.
Jughead too. Like when he's writing in the diner at 2 a.m., like what is he doing?
How is the diner open at 2 a.m.? Is it just 24 hours?
Maybe. Oh, we probably should mention the diner is a very important part of where most scenes take place. Like usually a lot of stuff is revealed or a lot of events happen when they're drinking milkshakes at the diner, at Pop's Diner to be specific.
I used to love looking at those scenes with the milkshakes because they always like made me want to eat, like drink one.
I always wanted one of those milkshakes. I've never had a milkshake quite like the ones they show on the show.
Yes. Oh, this is making me like really excited to eat. Yeah.
Me too.
Wow, all those milkshakes though, and Pop's Diner. And Pop is a character. He was just consistently there throughout every season.
He was really wholesome.
He,
for the most part, he didn't really have a role in anything. He was just kind of there with his diner and everything.
I love how in the midst of all this drama going on and these murders and everyone like getting suspected, Pop is like just a normal, relaxed character.
Just at his diner.
Yes. Good for him. Not getting involved with this teenager mystery things.
When Veronica, the scene where we get introduced to Veronica in the first episode, where she goes to the Pop's Diner and she orders like onion rings or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But the way she ordered it was like, I thought this at the time was so cool. And I was like, whoa, she's just so confident and so relaxed and so cool. So cool to talk to.
She like walked into every place like she owned it. Like she strutted in her heels and her designer clothes. And she was just so confident talking to everyone.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This show.
There's so much to say, and we have not said it all.
Yes. But we do have, like, a time limit. So, I guess we're approaching that right now.
Okay, final thoughts on the season?
I quite liked it. I think it's a good season to rewatch occasionally, and although there's a lot of questionable things inside it, I liked the characters in the first season and the relationships. It was okay. Yeah. What about you?
I think it was not bad. It was pretty good overall. And I think if you stop watching after this, you'll have a way better impression of Riverdale in your head than you would if you watched the entire show.
Well, the impression of season one is just something that can't be defeated by the other seasons. It's just over here, and then the others are down there.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think, I guess we can't really say predictions for season two, because we have both seen season two.
Yes, we have.
Is there any, I guess spoiler alert, is there anything so you're looking forward to if we were to do a video about season two to talk about?
Season two? I don't know what happens in season two, because the season one ends off with Archie's dad being, like, bled out, right? I forgot what led to that. Like, what caused... Oh my gosh, it's bored. What caused that? I don't know. Is that explored later on?
I think because he comes back to the town at the end of season one, or in the beginning of season two, we get to learn a lot about him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. I forgot everything, though. Is there anything you would like... being explored.
The only thing I remember is Archie starting like a fight gang or something.
Season two?
Wait, maybe that's in season three.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. Like the protectors, the overwatchers, whatever the name was, they watched over the community, like community watchers, except they were vigilantes.
Yeah, and I thought that was really funny. And I'm also excited this one scene where Veronica's having like a mimosa for breakfast in season two. And the mom's like, Veronica, what are you doing? And then she's like, you know, just having my mimosa. And I don't think we talked about why is she 16 years old and having mimosas for breakfast?
And also her, oh my gosh, she's bored. And also the like secret illegal nightclub that she starts running.
That was in season two?
No, but I don't think so. But in general, in the upcoming seasons. Also, the episodes where they show the parents as they were younger, I love those.
Yes. And the Breakfast Club themed one, I think in season four?
Midnight Club, I think that's what it was called. And it's like, oh, it was so cool.
And I love how they got the kids to play them. I thought that was so cool as
well. I know. I love that. I loved seeing Betty playing her mom's character. I thought that was really interesting.
I agree. She's such a good actress. Lily Reinhardt.
Yeah. I loved seeing her on other projects as well. I get excited whenever I see her.
I think she was like the biggest. I guess he was already big, like Cole Sprouse
before. Yeah, very big.
I think she and him were like the breakout stars, and then also Camila Mendes. I think because she was in a couple like popular movies recently, right?
Yes, we watched this recent rom com with her in it, and we really loved it.
Yes, so I think she did Do Revenge, and that was really popular too, right?
You're right.
So I think she's also. I don't know about
the KJ Alpha. I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully.
Wasn't he in like A Dog's Purpose? That was before Riverdale, right?
I think so, yeah. Oh, and her, Madeline. I forgot her last name.
Pesh.
I hope we're saying that right. But she's in quite a lot of things as well. I saw her in this like horror movie and she played a blind character.
Oh, wait. What was it called?
Something with sight.
Oh, I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, the only reason I watched it was because she was in it.
And she's so, I mean, I love the TikTok account she had with Camila and Lily, where they did TikToks together on the Riverdale set.
Did you see their, like, Halloween costumes going as a Hocus Pocus yes. witches? They fit it so well.
Yes, they do. They're such an iconic trio.
Yes, I love their trio.
I think, sadly, no one else has really had really big spotlights. I think Hiram's actor.
I see him.
Yeah, I saw him on an episode of How I Met Your Father. So
I remember. Yeah, I see him. I think I saw him in one random movie, but I'm not sure if that was him. Yeah. Maybe there's other like actors that we see on the other shows, but we just don't remember.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, and Polly, she was. Oh, since we did Once Upon a Time before, she was in season 7.
Who did she play?
She played Robin, Zelina, and Robin Hood's son.
Oh, nice.
That daughter.
Nice.
Yes.
I'm happy they've all gone to do, I hope, better things than Riverdale.
Yes, I'm really happy for the characters who've, like, left this part of their lives behind.
I think even though we are kind of hate-watching in a bit, I won't lie, I still love season one and some other parts of the show a little bit.
Me too. I think season one, we can feel like watch it guilty free because it's just the most normal season.
Yeah. And the musical episodes.
I love those.
They're my guilty pleasures. Yeah, same.
I sometimes watch them throughout the year. It's very fun, I think.
As you should. I was Riverdale's and Riverdale's top 0.1% of listeners back when in 2020 when I was in a big phase because of this show. So I think I have a lot of nostalgic memories involved with those songs.
I thought I was so cool for watching Riverdale when I was younger. And I was, like, proudly telling people who asked, like, oh, this is my favorite show. And I had such a huge phase.
Me too. Did you ever buy merchandise?
No, I didn't. Did you?
Me neither. But I remember seeing a lot of it when the show was really popular.
I was so tempted, I think. I almost got, like, a cheerleader costume when I was younger for, like, the Vixens. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
I love that. Did you end up getting it?
No. I was just looking at it. I was like, wow, that would be so fun to go as.
There's this one YouTuber who I really liked, Alex Myers, and he did videos about Riverdale. And I remember he promoted some Riverdale, or he he had a link that went to some Riverdale merch. I was looking at that, but I never bought it either.
Oh, I don't think my parents would have accepted it, and like rightfully so. Like, I would have regretted it if I had gotten it now.
Yes, I also think I would have regretted getting that merch, especially because I don't think anyone is walking out with Riverdale merch in public these days.
Yes, especially not anyone our age. Well, okay, this was like, I love doing these like episodes where we can have a board up with these connections.
Yes, it's really fun, and I just like talking about a show in general, honestly.
Me too. I think one of our favorite like hobbies in common, I guess, is just watching any show we can get our hands on.
I think that this kind of puts an end to today.
Yes. Make sure to check out our Once Upon a Time episode if you haven't already, because that's what started all these board episodes that we're planning on doing. And if you have any more recommendations, we would love to add more images to our board.
Definitely. Or any shows or movies or series or anything like that. Or books, honestly. We could go into books.
Yes. I've been looking for like a good book to like get invested into as well. So if you have recommendations, we would love to hear them. Thank you.